Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. Tim Conway Jr. and Brian Whitman on 97.1 from Talk Station, joined by addiction medicine specialist Dr. Drew, who, by the way, is wearing thongs on his feet tonight.
Yes, to protect myself against this wound here, which I doesn't allow. I was running on in Laguna Beach and just split my toe open here. I can't wear a shoe. It's ridiculous.
Now you a little Vicodin for that? That's got to hurt.
No, everyone keeps asking me to take something.
You won't take anything for it, huh?
No.
No pain medication? Do you take aspirin?
No.
You drink at all?
No, just not to. I mean, wine a little bit here and there, but pain medicine just, as I told you, makes me feel horrible.
Right.
And Tylenol, Motrin does zero for me. Zero, from as far as I can tell, for me.
How do you lose the edge? I mean, do you gamble? Are you at the
I
track
run,
every day?
I exercise. I run. That kind of thing.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Bad stuff. No. Hey, but we were talking about something interesting. I want to bring up again the fact that I'm on this Discovery Health Channel show, Strictly Sex. It's on Wednesdays at midnight. You can all see it 9 Wednesday, 9 Saturday, midnight Saturday. And we were talking about the difference between men and women, and I brought up the fact that women have a very powerful maternal drive to have a baby.
Right.
Because I was discussing how I've seen women stop a pretty powerful drug habit during a pregnancy and then return. But I don't know anywhere else, any of the circumstance in life where somebody can just stop so abruptly when they have a real addiction going on. And I speculated somehow perhaps there's some opioid release when women are pregnant that makes them feel that euphoria, that or saturate that same system that they would have gotten from the drug.
Or perhaps these dopes realize that you can't be on heroin with a child in your stomach.
A lot of them keep using the heroin at speed, too. It's like that's not a rational thing because some of them use right through it. But they seem to have an ability to stop that's uncanny. It seems it's easier, I think, than other times of life. Bottom line, I was saying, though, that women have a drive for baby that men don't have. And I don't think no one ever discusses this. Men have no drive for baby. They have a drive to be sort of a head of a household. But no baby drive. You know what I mean?
Right.
I said this to a woman, a journalist.
I like how he talks to us like we're cavemen. Well, baby. Men have no drive for baby.
No, I was talking to a journalist once, and I said this. She goes, oh, you have baby cravings? What do you mean? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Men have like the aversion. It's like that's what we avoid for all those years.
Yeah, a lot of guys are allergic to the babies.
Right. And we're going to be head of a household when we finally are ready, but no baby craving. Women have a very powerful maternal drive that no one ever discusses. Yeah,
the baby aversion is just a component of commitment aversion, right?
I think probably that. But I think, too, it's being conscious of the consequences of your sexual act, and so you don't want to hurt other people with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like
so
leaving things behind, like another person.
Right. Mm-hmm. So their drive to have a baby is the same as a male's sex drive?
Very similar.
Very similar?
For many women it is, and it's just never discussed. And I think one of the horrible things about our culture is there's all this assumption, these ridiculous ideas that men and women are the same. Their sex drives are the same. They're the same. We as humans differ from chimpanzees by about 300 pieces of DNA. The three of us differ from women by an entire chromosome. I mean, huge amounts of genetic material make us different. So, different, of course, profoundly different.
So are you suggesting women would be better off if they dated chimps?
Well, I you can argue that, I'm sure. I'm certainly many would agree with you on that.
You could ask Sarah Finder then.
So, anyway.
Sorry, Danny. I didn't know you were still in the room. All right, let's take a call here. I promise. How about Lucy in Orange County? You're on 97.1. How are you? You're on with Dr. Drew.
Hello, Dr. Drew.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi. I actually have had previous addictions with opiate-based drugs, and I actually am taking buprenorphine.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think I'm struggling with an addiction to Soma.
Yeah, well, you're addicted to buprenorphine, and you're addicted to Soma. And the Soma is an interesting drug. It's not entirely clear how Soma causes addiction, but I've seen more. In fact, I at one point was skeptical.
Is it a muscle relaxer?
It's a muscle relaxer. I at one time was skeptical that it can cause addiction. It clearly does. And, in fact, the withdrawal from Soma is awful.
Really?
Again, the 30-a-day pill user of Soma will have this upper limb movement dysfunction where they just feel like this. Like
they
have to punch things all the time. They throw their cokes across the room. And they feel this very powerful agitation.
Cool.
They sit and just rock.
Oh, God.
And this will go for like 2 weeks.
Wow.
It is horrible. God. Yeah, it's a horrible withdrawal. We have ways to modulate it and treat it and stuff. But, again, it has to be done in a hospital.
So what should Lucy do?
It has to be done in a hospital.
Yeah.
It
and
that's, be done at home.
Let's get off the Buprenex. Let's get into recovery. Let's go. Come on. It's time.
Yeah, what's
32.
Stopping you
let's
from
go.
Recovery?
What's that?
Yeah, what's stopping you from going into recovery?
I've been in recovery.
No, you're on an opiate. You're on a chronic opiate, buprenorphine. That is an opiate.
Yes, I know, but I suffer from chronic back pain.
I know.
I take it with the naltrexone in it, so.
I know.
Well, what number could she call to get some help?
You know, Hogue has a good treatment center over there. She's in Orange County at Newport.
Yeah, Hogue is great down there. Huh? Mm-hmm. All right, call the Hogue Center and slide in there tonight.
You can't imagine. I wrote another book called When Painkillers Become Dangerous. I think that's what I was talking about when I was last in here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you'd
be
amazed at how the business about the back pain, that's from the opiates.
Oh, is that right?
From the opiates,
so if you stop the pain pills, eventually the back pain goes away?
People don't believe it, but I have people almost without exception, they walk out of my facility with little or no pain.
Wow, that is terrific.
Dr. Drew, you're saying the opiate creates the back pain?
Yes. It's a sort of a chronic withdrawal. It's not fully understood what the mechanism is, but when you have opiate withdrawal, it feels like somebody is crushing your back. You have to go through horrible pain for 2 or 3 weeks before it starts to remit.
Now, when you cure somebody, and I guess that's not the term you use, treat somebody, and they do, you know, that you see somebody from going from rocking to, you know, a very conscious part of society. Mm-hmm. That must make you feel great when they leave.
That's how I got involved in the field. I didn't become a physician to work in this field.
Right.
I was actually just, I'm an internist by training. I was doing internal medicine in a psychiatric hospital. And guess where all the sick people were? There's in the drug addiction unit. And so I was called down there all the time. And I actually got involved with a couple cases from beginning to end. And I watched these two women go from dead to productive, amazing, better than they ever knew they could be. And I thought, wow, there's nowhere else in medicine you get to do that. You usually go from sort of sick to chronically ill. And this was, you know, it was intriguing to me. This is 15 years ago, so I got very much involved in the training.
When somebody does, you know, die from drugs, is that something you think about on the way home?
Yeah, I hate that, but it's a deadly disease. It happens all the time.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Drew Pinsky is with us. Let's talk to Melissa in Ontario. You're on 97.1. How are you?
Hi. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm good. My father is addicted to, like, a ton of pain stuff. In fact, he was chewing fentanyl patches.
Yeah, I've seen people do that.
Mm. Yeah, well, he's
my daughter, Melissa. Damn it. Danny. I told you.
Downer.
Jesus. All right, let me have it.
Okay, well, he's now in a rehab.
Good.
Right now, and he is off everything, obviously, because he had to be sober for 3 days. But I had a couple things I want to say. Number one, it was so hard to find a placement for him with the opiate addiction without insurance.
Oh, yeah. Listen, one of the problems with addiction is there's no one to advocate on behalf of addicts.
Right.
There's no insurance has abused them. Their government doesn't come to their assistance.
Right.
It is really a problem if you don't have adequate resources. And even with good resources, you'd be amazed how restricted they are in terms of being able to treat people.
Well, it's like Sam Kinison once said. He said, you know, when you go into rehab, you need like $10,000, you know, the average. Oh. That was back then.
Yeah.
Probably a little more now.
Yeah.
He says, if you can get your hands on $10,000 cash, you don't have a problem yet.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's well said. Back many years ago, a social worker at the hospital I was working at said to me, he goes, you know, Drew, people that are into drugs aren't into insurance. that's very well said.
Right. If nobody's into insurance.
There's a chemical aversion to insurance.
All right. Now, can you stay for another segment or do you have to split?
Good. I'm good for about 20 minutes.
All right. Well, let's pick up with Melissa again. I cut you off. You got a quick question for the doctor?
I just wanted to know what can my dad do now that he's off everything for his back pain, because they're giving him acupressure.
The pain will get dramatically better in the next 2 to 4 weeks. The problem is convincing him of that and keeping him engaged in a treatment process.
Well, he's been in there for 3 weeks now.
And the pain is getting better?
No.
Mm. What's the nature of his back problem?
He had some kind of lower back pain. He had a disc problem, and they did some surgery.
It's because
of
the javelin sticking out of it.
The pain usually almost always gets better. Just stay focused on the treatment. Don't focus on the pain. It gets better 80-90% of the time.
Okay? And there's no such thing as that real chronic pain syndrome. That's like
There is. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. There is. But the chronic pain with addiction is one of the most serious, difficult problems to manage. And 9 times out of 10... when you take people off the drugs, the chronic pain syndrome is not really the chronic pain syndrome. It's addiction.
Oh, okay.
All right, Melissa.
Thank you.
All right, you take care of yourself.
You too.
Thank you for calling. That's got to be tough, though, when dad's, you know, I don't know the nature of, you know, how that happened, but when mom or dad is addicted to drugs.
Yeah, it's awful.
Tough for the kids,
awful.
Man. Yep. Yeah, because that's all they think about all day long.
You don't have a parent, basically. An addicted or an alcoholic parent is an abandoning parent.
So your kids will never have to go through that.
I'm just never home, so that's the problem. Yeah.
Now, they have to deal with that.
Your kids are 12 years old?
That's right. I'm actually not as bad as you would think. I'm really not.
Right.
I help out my kids baseball. I do everything.
My dogs and ice cream. You have to explain to us. Now, are your kids in the stage where they hate you yet?
Not yet. I'm sure that's coming.
It's getting there?
It's about 2 years away.
Oh, is that right? 14?
Yeah. I think 14, 15, it feels like. My daughter's at the stage where she takes it all out on mom. So
good.
I'll be in the
But you're next. You're in the on-deck circle.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Now, do you hit your kids often?
No.
Once a week?
No, I mean, I'm too clear on the consequences, the biological consequences of parents striking kids. That there's so much data on what that does to their brain
That's
and their
good.
Emotional systems. Yeah.
You have never swatted your kid?
No.
You've never hit him on the ass?
No.
Is that right?
5 years old, steps into the street.
No, with lots of timeouts and things like that. Yeah, and pulled them, yes, pulled them back and stuff. There is evidence that you should, if they're doing something dangerous, you need them to stop immediately, use whatever force you need to do. But if you're trying to shape behavior long term,
right.
You don't
hit them.
It affects them many, many horrible ways. All my patients. It's at the point now where 100% of my patients, I know, this is an important point, I know if you have serious enough addiction that you need to be treated in my inpatient program, there's virtually a 100% probability that you were sexually or physically abused.
Really?
In childhood.
Now, is there a huge difference between sexual and physical abuse?
There is in terms of treatment, but not in terms of the addiction process.
Which is worse?
Sexual abuse.
All right. All right. Dr. Drew is with us. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back. Dr. Drew Pinsky, man, this guy has all the answers, or at least it sounds like he does. He's got a brand new TV show that is on Wednesdays. Is that right?
Wednesday, midnight, 9, Discovery Health Channel.
Discovery. And what is it called?
Strictly Sex.
Strictly Sex. Look at you. They got the perfect guy. And he does the entire show topless, too. So should be a great series. It's Conway and Whitman, Tim Conway Jr. and Brian Whitman live on 97.1 FM Talk Station. All right, it's Conway and Whitman, Tim Conway Jr. and Brian Whitman on 97.1 The FM Talk Station with drug addiction specialist, the magician of morphine.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
I like that.
Dr.
Wow.
Drew.
Thank you.
That's what they should call you. Wear a cape around. Just you should really go nuts.
I want to look like Mesmer, Dr. Mesmer. Just wave wands and magnets over people.
Yeah. Is there anything to the magnets? Do they work at all?
No. Read the books.
There's a great, the copper. People have the copper bracelets.
Couple
on.
Books called "Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds."
Oh, really?
The whole Mesmer thing and all that's in there.
Now, but the bracelets don't work with the metal.
Not
the copper bracelets?
Say, no.
They don't work at
whatever.
All.
If people say they feel better, I'm all for it.
All right.
There's no evidence. Right? Here's the problem with being a physician. You have to practice evidence-based practice. That's what you have to do. Like, for instance, when we were all prescribing estrogen replacement for women, it helped women. We were all convinced it was, I'm still convinced if I were a female, I would take it. The evidence suggests it's not a good thing, so we have to take everybody off.
Wow, is that right?
Yeah, the world.
Now, it must be tough when you have. Well, maybe not for you, but for a typical doctor who doesn't specialize in addiction medicine, when a pain reliever comes like the COX-2 inhibitors and they take those off the shelf.
That
like
was that was a catastrophe for many of my patients.
Oh, it was.
Oh, it's horrible.
Is that right?
Were a lot of people
addicted to Celebrex?
No, it's just they suffer. They you find a medicine that works for somebody and then they take it away. It is not a trivial issue. So this business, all medicines are dangerous. There's not a medicine on earth you can take that can't kill you.
Right.
It's the risk benefit that always has to be taken into account. And sometimes it comes up, the wrong way for you.
Right. But, I mean, people are eventually going to go back to just aspirin.
Well, they're going to go back to nothing if the legal system has its way, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Everything's going to be a liability.
Everything's – yeah. No. So if you had someone who was taking the Celebrex or the Vioxx and then –
There was a great diabetic medication. Now it's called Actos. There's various versions of it now. But I had one diabetic who died because they could not control her without this medicine. The LA Times ran a bunch of articles about some liver failure deaths, which indeed happened from these medications. And the whole thing was taken off the market.
Wow.
Now, people suffer because of that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right. Let's take some phone calls. But first, now, there's been some rumor going around that Adam Carolla, your partner, is sliding over here.
That's what I'm hearing.
And doing mornings over here. He had talked about it on the air. It was in the LA Times, so it's nothing new. That we're not, telling any secrets out
no,
of school
no secrets
here.
That I'm
with. But now, what are they going to do with Loveline? You're going to continue to
I
do
will
it.
Continue, and we will see who the – I'm going to meet with the powers that be on Thursday and have a discussion on what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Who's it going to be?
Oh, boy.
Boy, girl, young, old, black, white.
You should get a chick in there.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting.
Couple of chicks. You know what you should do is – you should
see, now the dynamic has changed.
Yes, yeah. No, but you should get – now, here's – if I were casting that show, yes. I would get you – like an 18-year-old stripper whose dad beat the hell out of her, somebody who can relate to your audience.
I agree with you that somebody extreme in that role is interesting.
Yeah,
it makes
be
for
nice.
It interesting, because then my job I become like a marlin fisherman trying to reel in the show.
Yeah. Well, you ying, he yangs.
Oh, man.
I still
remember doing a show in 1984 with Nina Hagen and Angeline. Trying to reel that in.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Now, didn't you work for free for the first, 9 years?
10 years.
So? Ten years.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was fun. I thought I was doing community service. Didn't know it was going to take over my life.
So your wife said, no, you're not going to the house without bringing a check
back. They decided to put it on 5 nights a week, and that was the same week my wife became pregnant with triplets. And she said, "You go talk to them. You're not going out unless you're working."
Right.
That's it.
Well, that's good.
Dr. Drew, you go and you do Love Line every night, and you do a great job. We all obviously love and enjoy listening to the show. Do you view your role as an entertainer or to help people? To what extent do you really take this? I'm going to get in there and help people fix their problems.
I always want to. But the show's got to help. Every call's got to be a purpose. There's got to be a reason we go to the territory we go into. And I've always seen it as a health show. It has to entertain, or no one listens. And right. So I'm willing to go and entertain and do one of those entertaining kinds of, especially with Carolla. I mean, he insists on an improvisational partner. I mean, it took me about 5 years to sort of realize that the reason he was so abusive was that I would disagree and say no. And he'd go, "That violates every rule of improvisational comedy. How dare you say no?" It's like, you have to say not only that, but yes, and but I disagree with what you're saying. You're saying something dangerous. I the answer is no. So I have to figure out ways to go, "Adam, you're absolutely right. But have you ever considered this?"
I remember I was listening to during a John and Jeff break. I was listening to you and Carolla. And I must have had the radio on for like 5 or 6 minutes, and you had an argument about something so mundane, but it was so interesting.
We didn't have an argument. He was yelling at me.
He was yelling at you because you kept doing you kept like quizzing the guests. And I remember listening at the whole way, and I thought, you know what, that's right. Maybe you shouldn't be doing that.
No.
Dr. Drew's head is in his hands right now.
We have celebrities on the show every night. And so a friend of mine, Mark Young at the USC Business School, is a professor there, is interested in he's creating a curriculum at the business school on entertainment and celebrity and stuff. And we're interested in the nature, the psychological nature of makeup of celebrity. And we've discovered that no one had ever published a study on celebrity. Industry is built on what celebrities are doing, thinking, what their relationships.
Right.
There's not a single study on who they are, what they are, how they function. Not one.
Wow.
And he said, you have access to them every night. Let's build a questionnaire together and let's issue it to find a way to make it really easy so they can do it in 5 minutes and let's ask them to do it. Well, we did it to 200 and some odd. And they were all interested. You know, they're all very narcissistic and they want to know. They understand that there's some pathology there too, and they're interested in the nature of it.
And it's about them.
It's about them. And they filled it out. But Adam, you have to give him his full and absolute attention at all times. And so if we would come out of commercial break and the celebrity was still filling out the questionnaire, he'd have a total meltdown.
On the air.
And so it became about, you got to remember to tell them. How can you – his thing was, how can I not see that they're doing that as the show starts? I'm like, I'm focusing on you and the board here and trying to figure out what we're
going to do. And he accused
you of lying. Yeah, it's impossible that I didn't see it. And so I was like, I didn't see it. My thing was, do I really want to go through this argument on the air? We spent 20 minutes fighting about this. Of course, if I'd seen it, I would have told him to stop. Of course. What's in it for me?
I can remember, it's one of those things where you can remember where you were when you heard this. I remember
we had five of those, I want you to know.
I was driving on.
But who's counting?
Oh.
I was on my way for 2 for Tuesday. Was today Tuesday?
Today's Tuesday.
Oh, then I'm on my way after work. 2 for Tuesday at Krispy Kreme. You get two dozen for the price of one dozen.
Fabulous.
Now, I was on the way to get 2 dozen donuts. And listening to this drive through, I'm still listening to it. And I eat like 6 on the way home. I get the ill on the way home.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah, they are the best. But that was a great argument. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was not something I enjoyed. I must
say. All right, let's talk to Tom and Tustin. Tom, you were on with Conway and Whitman plus Dr. Drew. What a break for you, huh?
Hey, guys. Hey. Yeah, actually, yes. Dr. Drew, I've been listening to you. Not listening, well, once in a while, but you pretty much have built up a good base of credibility with me. And actually listening to your show, I feel like maybe a pervert because I'm almost 40, and you got all these young kids on, you know.
What are you doing while you're listening?
A lot of credibility with me, and it's an honor to be talking to you.
Thank you. Is this
anyway,
Tom? Yeah, Tom. Okay, Tom.
Yeah, and Conway, you're pretty funny, too.
Oh, and, I tell you, you're the best, listen, Tommy.
I tell you what, though, man, when you're talking about, what did you say about tried and true methods of finding something out? Oh, I forgot. I'm on the radio. Anyway, but there's a place on Rampart and Beverly Boulevard for a colon cleanser. Get two Tommy Chili burgers, and you will blast the Thunder Mug like you never believed.
All right. Hey, by the way, can we use that in the Tommy Burger spot that we run?
Oh, man. No, I'm just kidding, man. They're great. I love them. Mm. Hey, Dr. Drew, I have a quick question. I'm going on 40. I've never been married. I'm not a chronic masturbator, child abuser, or anything like that. I've had sex without a condom only once in my life. But I think I've got this fear that, you know, when I do have a relationship, I get tired of sex with the same woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's like a compulsion or a problem, you know, because I seen my parents, my dad would come home, he'd have his bottle in the garage or whatever, medicate himself, just
right.
He didn't have to hear the constant bossing around.
Right. Tom, usually that is an intimacy problem. You're describing an alcoholic family system you came from with the abuse.
Well,
of mom.
No, my dad, he was great. He
made, but isn't he a typical
he's
a guy?
Guy. No, I know he's a great guy. I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
Yeah, but I mean, all right, hold on, Tommy. Isn't this guy typical, though?
Yeah, that his wife's beating on him and he just sort of retreats. Oh, Tom's a typical guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, at 40, that's not so typical. That's a typical thing. The testosterone actually does that to you. It makes you sort of want to need diversity. Something called the Coolidge effect. Oh, I don't have time to get into this.
Oh, with the chickens?
Yes. Yeah. We had this up last time.
Yeah.
But the fact is,
you got to tell that story because that's pretty good.
All right. So
and I'm not sure Brian's heard it.
I have not heard
this
it.
This is about, it's so evident biologically that the male mammal needs diversity, needs to have, you know, lots of partners. There's a story that emerged called the Coolidge effect. Right? It's actually a way of describing this called the Coolidge effect. And it's built on a story about Calvin Coolidge, president of the United States, turn of the century. And apparently at that time in this country, we maintained federal farms. And every year, the president and the first lady would go tour the farms. And this particular occasion, the president went one direction, the first lady took her entourage, went another. And the first lady was the first to get to the chicken coop, at which point the farmer held up their prize rooster. And he wanted to be sure to point out, Mrs. Coolidge, I just want to let you know this is our prize rooster. He's able to copulate at least 100 times a day. At which point Mrs. Coolidge said, Mr. Farmer, be sure to point that out to the president. And so now the first lady leaves. In comes the president with his entourage. And the farmer with a little less flair now says, Mr. President, Mrs. Coolidge wanted me to be sure to point out to you that our prize rooster here. And also to mention to you, she wanted to be sure you caught that he copulates at least 100 times a day. To which the president said, with the same chicken? No, with 100 different chickens. And that is how the male works. I mean, that's not a mammal, but there you go.
Yeah. No, but that's you know, that sums it up.
Kind of illustrates
the Coolidge effect. It's called the Coolidge effect.
But, you know, I guess ultimately, and I've been trying to learn this my entire life, you've got to stop doing things where the gratification is, you
immediate.
Know, in the next 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And,
that's if you want to know how to be happy in life, that's the one lesson you can learn.
Yeah.
Really,
it's
about
slow
everything.
Happiness.
It's about, you know, it's about nourishment. It's about
right.
building. It's about you know what I mean? Even whether it's capitalism or relationships, everything has a equity you build with time.
But is it possible, Dr. Drew, that the caller, Tom, 40 years old, is a guy who is just meant to be a bachelor and is meant to have variety and is not meant to be with
be
one
and,
person?
You know, whatever that means, but he really is at 40 describing a problem with intimacy. He doesn't feel intimate with that person anymore. He's just, you know, at a certain point when somebody's attraction just becomes sort of the external of that person you're with. Mm. You know what I mean? Even though you're very, very attracted, you may like what the hell they look. Ultimately, it becomes when you're in a relationship, it's just that person, who they are, that you're really sort of with. And if that becomes uncomfortable for you or you can't be close to that or not other satisfactions that come with it, you can lose interest pretty easily.
All right. Dr. Drew Pinsky is with us. He is a specialist in
addiction medicine.
Addiction
medicine.
He does a brand new show on the Discovery
Health Channel.
Yes. And
it's called Strictly Sex.
It's a talk show.
Some people
about
have that, I
sex
guess.
And relationships. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
And it's on Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights, 9 to midnight. Saturdays, 9 to midnight.
Wow.
Mostly Wednesday midnight we're aiming for.
And you've done a ton of these things?
Done a, you know, 10 or so.
They're fun to do or pain in the ass?
No, they're good. They're fun. They've been good shows, good talk shows, good topics. I get to design them. We just handpick the guests, and
that's
they're all
cool.
People you've never seen on TV. But talking about this biology stuff, there's a guy named Lionel Tiger that's a biological anthropologist that wrote a book called The Decline of Males. I said, that guy should be on. I want to talk to that guy. They went and got him. You've seen these girls that did the hookup book?
Yes.
I said, get them. I want to talk to them because I knew that's a lot of BS. So let me take them apart. And so that's the kind of thing we did. So.
And they're willing to do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. The hookup thing was interesting. Right. There's a whole other topic here. But these girls, you know, with the hookup handbook, and I'm talking about differences between men and women. I know that men and women experience this whole hookup phenomenon profoundly differently. So I went to New York, and they took me out to one of their clubs in the meatpacking district, and I said, yeah, show me. I use a lot of therapeutic wonderment. I understand this hooking up thing. Show me how that works. They go, oh, we'll show you. We're experts. I go, hang on a second. I went downstairs, set up some cameras, took down 10 women and 10 men. First 10 women, I said, well, what is this hookup thing? I don't understand it. Oh, well, it's, you know, maybe some kissing and intimate conversation. I'm like, really? What if I told you I thought that men are thinking about sex? Like, how dare you? What are you talking? I wouldn't believe you. Then 10 guys? What do you think those 10 guys said right
sure,
in a row? Oh, my
great.
God. So
oh,
there you go. Wow.
Good for you. Yeah. All right, well, you're debunking a lot of theories that's there right. out there, yeah? Like the Art Bell of the sex world.
That's right.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of, yes.
Yes,
yes,
that's right.
Out there. All right, now I have a theory, and I may have heard it on your program, and I got to confirm or deny this, because if I had not heard it on your program, I'm going to claim it as my own.
All right.
That, and you tell me whether you've
all
heard
right, yeah.
this on your
I'll
show
you honestly,
or whether you were at
it. I may not remember
right.
either.
Okay.
So.
I have a theory that women with A-size breasts get A's in school. B's get B's, C's get C's, D's get D's.
You've never heard that on our show. However,
so that I can claim that as
my
theory.
You claim that as your own, and it certainly makes sense that the D's are distracted.
That's what the D stands
That's
for.
That's what the D stand for.
Yeah, but doesn't that make sense that chicks
yes,
with
yes.
A's get A's?
Yes.
Chicks with B's get B's?
You can claim that as your own.
And you can use that if you like.
Thank
Maybe
you.
In your next
that.
Book.
That's
Maybe you guys do the book together.
A's get A's.
The ABCs of academia.
Yeah. Oh, my.
All right, let's take a quick call here. Who do you want to talk to here? About
Let me see.
Question about drug seizure.
Confused.
Ooh, the seizure medicine.
One. Where's the seizure one?
Seizure one
That's
is down.
Jerry and Van Nuys. Seizure spelled by Dan. C-E-A-S-U-R-E.
Oh, seizure.
Wow.
Way to go, Dan.
All right.
You guys pick.
All right, let's talk to Jerry about his seizure. Maybe he's still alive. Hey, Jerry, you still there?
Yeah, it's not about a seizure. It's about what you said about Ambien, because I got panicky. You said you could have a seizure, because I've been taking it for a while, but I haven't been taking, like, a large amount, like a little, tiny little crumb every night, because I know it's more psychological.
Right. No, it's not, it's not psychological. So get out. Things are either addictive or they're not. You're either driven to use them or they're not. That's a biological event when that happens. People love to blame things on psychology when it's their brain
okay.
doing the work.
I'm more
but here's the deal.
Well, you feel less. I have to say that because I take Ambien, Doctor.
Well, you're
I'm
probably
fine. I'm freaking out thinking I'm going to have a seizure.
Jerry,
no, because
calm
I
down.
Asked the doctor, and right yeah. back to Jerry in a moment, I asked the doctor when I said, I want to take something that's not addictive.
Yeah.
And when you hear it's psychological, you think that you're less vulnerable.
Right.
Right.
And well, here's the deal. That Ambien is sort of marketed as a non-addictive
right.
sleep medication, and Ultram is marketed as a non-addictive opiate. I treat lots of Ultram addiction. I've seen tons of it. I've seen Ambien addiction. Seen tons of it. Now, not somebody taking 2.5 milligrams a night. No. They're taking 20 or 30 a night. And what I'm saying is if you're taking it every night and you stop suddenly – you need to talk to your doctor about that, because you can have some withdrawal, you can have panic, anxiety,
yeah,
you can be uncomfortable.
I'm not even talking about 2 milligrams.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a crumb, like not even if it's a 5 milligram.
I tell you, baby,
yeah,
if I were married to you, I would make you take more, because you sound
fine.
A little high strung
so
for
if
me.
If I don't take it tonight, I'm not going to have a seizure?
I don't think, no. I mean, I can't guarantee, but you should be fine.
What's the treatment if you're taking
it? Yeah, so now how do I get off
we
it?
We use drugs like Neurontin and phenobarbital to sort of taper off those medicines typically.
So call my doctor and... Fine.
I think you're fine. I really, if
so
you really
if
are,
just stop taking it all together. Would I have any?
You'll
problems?
Have a little. You should have a little rebound, a little sleeplessness, and a little bit of anxiety during the day, but not a big deal.
Okay. So if I start stop taking my little crumb tonight,
little crumb for the fifth time. I think it's more than a little crumb.
No, it's not. I swear to you, that's how sick I am.
Right.
It's only a crumb.
Maybe we had to talk about OCD next, because that's really
yeah.
Sort of
no, you.
Okay,
you,
so you don't. I'm okay.
Jerry, I'm not taking care of you. I can't give you explicit. You need to talk to your doctor. But yes. You're probably fine.
And don't take it tonight.
Well, no, I didn't
Jerry,
say that.
No, you don't.
Just
can't
a crumb.
Be you've got to call. Why don't you call your doctor?
I can't tonight.
Well, what about tomorrow? Take your crumb tonight and call him tomorrow.
Should I take my crumb tonight?
Yes, take your crumb.
Take two crumbs
take
and
crumb.
Call him in the morning.
Take the crumb tonight.
Take
the crumb.
Take
yes.
care of yourself.
Well done.
Oh, boy. Can you imagine someone's coming home to that?
Well, you know, the thing with...
Somebody leaves their job, and I got a 20-minute ride
I
home.
I thought she was cute.
She well, was cute. She might be the most beautiful woman on the planet, but still. I mean, honey, have you seen my crumb? Oh,
what happens with the Ambien, Dr. Drew, yeah. is that I understand that for about 10% of people who take it, there's a buzz. There's an intoxication.
A high.
There's
euphoria with it.
Uh-huh.
Those are the people who tend to get going with it, typically. And it's not a highly addictive drug by any means. And it's a good – listen – don't blame the drugs. OxyContin is an excellent drug. Ambien is an excellent drug. They're good drugs. They just need to be managed cautiously. That's all.
The Lunesta.
We got to get out of here.
I got to run.
All right, Dr. Drew.
I'll come back. I promise.
Please come back. It's awfully interesting when you come around because you're the only guest we have on that judges us for an hour and a half. But we always nice to see you.
But he does it with a smile.
Yes. Dr. Drew has his brand new TV show on Wednesdays on the Discovery Health Channel. 9 o'clock and midnight, I believe. Is that right?
Wednesday.
All right, Wednesday.
And Saturday.
And Saturday. You can look at it as many times as you like.
I beg your pardon. It's midnight unless you have satellite. Then it's 9 and midnight. Yeah, that's the way it works. Yes.
All right, Dr. Drew, thanks for coming by, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
It's
thanks,
Conway Whitman, Tim Conway Jr., and Brian Whitman. When we come back, it's a little Stump the Monkey. Yes, right here on 97.1 The FM Talk Station.